This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers version 3.0. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode, I'm going to be covering some of the latest in Transformers news. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of time since we last conversed, and fortunately, there's actually some Transformers stuff to talk about, and on the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about kind of quasi Theft of the Golden Disc, as well as Beast Wars 2nd and Neo, and what we kind of hope to learn and talk about as that progresses. And so, yeah. How have you guys been on this adventure into Transformers? What's been motivating you, and what have you guys been looking forward to? I noticed this past week we actually got some kind of cool Transformers stuff. And when I say that, I mean on the new series. But before we get into that, we're going to get into some listener comments. Brad Mall says in reply to the top five Transformers, which I brought up in the last episode, his, in no particular order, he says, are Megatron, Dinobot, Depth Charge, Rhinox, and Primal, which are all good choices. And he says, oh, Beast Unleashed 2 sounds fun. And my reply was, glad you think so. So this starts, obviously, on this episode with Theft of the Golden Disc, which we kind of gloss over it a little bit. There really wasn't much to talk about in that realm because it's been done on the Beast Unleashed at one point. But we kind of talked about it a little bit, and I kind of cleared up the little bit of the misconceptions of what transpired between the prelude of Theft of the Golden Disc and the actual Theft of the Golden Disc, which essentially both of them are the same video. It's just that one was kind of a teaser before they used it for BotCon purposes, and the other one was more polished and refined and a little bit altered story. And kind of skipping over some of the stuff that was in the prelude. He says, now adding to the original Beast Unleashed RSS feed? No, I'm going to keep it on this feed because I don't really see the need in adding it to that. Now, if enough people ask me to put it on the original Beast Unleashed feed, I may separate those parts of the episodes of this show and repackage it and put it over there. But at this point, I don't see the purpose in reopening a dead feed. And I think that it would be better served being here rather than having go subscribe to this feed, go subscribe to this feed. We're kind of condensing in 2017 or 2018 on the Geekcast Radio Network. And so rather than having a feed for every sub-show that may not last entirely that long, we're going to be combining some. And so you'll get more in that feed with less subscriptions, if that makes any sense. So, Hobby Lobby has had a few waves now of different kinds of Transformers art stamped into sheet metal, which I did not know this, and I'm actually quite excited about it. I was reading about this on T-Formers, and there's been two new pieces featuring G1 Optimus Prime and Bumblebee, represented in the design of the 2006 Classics toys at Hobby Lobby. They were priced at $18.99 each, which really isn't that bad, even though it's the size of like a small calendar, because you get kind of some of the it gets kind of the G1 grid in the back with like an outline of the figure itself and all the little details, and it says Transformers and it's got Prime in an action pose. Honestly, if it weren't for the fact that I don't put up stuff on the walls anymore, I would get my hands on this Optimus Prime one. Like 100% get my hands on this Optimus Prime one because I think it's awesome. Yeah, that's I'm really digging that, how that turned out. And then in other Transformers news, it's funny. The Transformers Pictures is called Allspark Pictures, which is Paramount and Hasbro's take on Marvel Studios. Greg Moradian is his name, who's currently at Fox 2000, is going to be heading this Allspark Pictures. And the reason they're saying this is that as president of Allspark, he will oversee film and television productions starting in January. Sources say the company has been making an effort to raise money to start its own studio for some time and is trying to attract funding in the 9-figure range in order to properly develop its own slate of films. The hope is to transform itself into an industry player to rival Marvel Studios. The company currently has a deal with Paramount. It wants to expand that relationship so that Paramount isn't just distributing movies, but is also partnering and financing films and developing projects. So, you're almost kind of looking at like a CBS situation with Paramount, but with Hasbro. So that's kind of cool. They're saying that because Paramount has successfully made films based on Hasbro's characters like Transformers and G.I. Joe, those franchises will not be a part of the new pact. Paramount develops any movies featuring those characters with Hasbro serving as its producer. Which is a little bit odd. But they're going to put like... I don't even know how that's going to work. Because there's like a combined Paramount Allspark Pictures logo that's like on this. And I'm kind of confused what they think is going to rival Marvel if they don't put Transformers and G.I. Joe in there. I almost see that if they're going to do that, they need to do like almost what they're doing at IDW. Having the like ROM, mask, G.I. Joe, Transformers, like all these different, you know, and My Little Pony could be its own planet even, or, you know, I'm wondering how that would play out, because without those properties, there's really nothing there, but I guess time will tell. And... yeah, John Cena confirmed Sector 7 role, blah, blah, blah. There's a multitude of Transformers comics. The only one that looks remotely cool on the cover is the Hasbro comic book event of First Strike Optimus Prime, which has almost like a G.I. Joe look to it, but it's got Optimus Prime and like a... kind of a weird... cover where it's supposed to be Prime and RC defending the homeland of Cybertron, caught in the middle of a human Transformers team known as the Revolutionaries. I don't follow the comics all that much, so I don't know that much, but Transformers Cyberverse looks to be interesting. There's been a first image of the new show and some details on what the series will involve, and it's got a picture of Bumblebee, which looks like they mixed G1 with the Robots in Disguise cartoon aesthetic with animated. It's a really weird amalgamation between the three. But they're also saying that, well, one, noses are back. After 10 years of Transformers lacking noses in Transformers Animated, Transformers Prime, and Robots in Disguise, the facial features that giant alien machines from space have real no real need are back. The artwork gives us our first look at Transformers Cyberverse versions of the main cast, Bumblebee appearing as a synthesis of his G1 and IDW ongoing design, with the classic chest detail from the front of the car and door wings on shoulders. Black stripes on the chest suggest the vehicle mode will be taking cues from the movie or possibly Transformers Prime Bumblebee. Next to Bumblebee is Wingblade, who looks basically like the Combiner Wars, using the coloration of Wingblade, our Windblade toy that was released for RID last year. And Optimus Prime is shown in the background. All you get is a mugshot of him, and he's sporting a full face, implying that the faceplate will only come out in battle. However, the squared look of the head is also G1 derivative, and typically longer and more angular. It's sidestepping the Transformers Prime and all those other aesthetics. It looks very like IDW comic-wise. I'm in favor of these design changes. The only thing I'm a little leery about is I wonder what the tone of the show is going to be. I'm wondering if it's going to connect directly to the Prime Wars stuff. I'm wondering if it's going to I really don't know what it's going to be about, but they report that Bumblebee is on a critical mission where lives are at stake, only he can't remember what it is, which is a bit weird. And they're saying it's a good thing his best friend Windblade has found him to help repair his damaged memory chips. With each recovered memory, Bumblebee rediscovers his past adventures on Cybertron before coming to Earth. He relives fun moments when he played Cybertronian sports with his friends, and even tragic ones that would change his life. His past will shape him into becoming the hero we know today. As each memory is repaired, another clue comes to light that will lead them both to complete their shared mission to save the friends and Earth. However, the Decepticons are hot on their heels, and time is running out. So it's another Bumblebee-centric series. Yeah, Windblade is now his best friend. It's a new continuity. His recovering memories is interesting, but I don't know. It's obviously going to be very episodic, and those two are going to be kind of hand in hand with humans and regaining memories and whatnot. But I don't know how this is going to turn out. They're saying that it might have a resolution by the end of the first season of his memory stuff, and there's supposed to be another full-scale confrontation between Bumblebee's band of allies and the pursuing Decepticons. I'm wondering if they're going to get Will Friedle to do it again, because he's kind of their go-to anymore, which I'm fine with, but I guess we'll see. It's uncertain if Peter Cullen's returning as Prime, so we'll see. But the Transformers Cyberverse image, it looks interesting. I like that it's a little bit more polished than RID. It's got more of an animated look to it than RID, but it very much looks like it could be in that same design aesthetic and colored palette. So it's being developed by Boulder Media in association with Hasbro Studios and is due to air in 2018. So I guess we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens. But I have no idea what they're going to do with this if those two are supposed to carry the show. I don't have a clue. I guess stay tuned for that. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to my co-host of The Beast Unleashed Part 2 with myself, and we'll be back after this quick break with Theft of the Golden Disc, and some thoughts on Beast Wars 2 and Neo.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers version 3.0. This is the Dinotron Dinobot Philip. No, that's wrong. It's supposed to be Megatron that leads, not Dinobot. Oh, Rastinator is confused. Where's Bosspot?
Ah, yes.
So, if you're hearing this, that means that we are on the Beast Unleashed Part 2. And so, joining me in this endeavor into the kind of going over the Theft of the Golden Disc again, although with a little bit different perspective this time, and eventually covering BW Second and Neo, I have joining me...
Draconis.
Yes, Draconis.
Ah, yes.
So, should we do a little bit of a description of the Theft of the Golden Disc?
If you'd like. It was originally shown as part of the, I can't believe I just forgot as soon as we were talking about it.
BotCon 2006.
BotCon 2006. To basically tell the what happened, how Megatron got the Golden Disc, how the team that he had formed, and who actually informed him of the Golden Disc. A newer character called Cryotech, which, based on the toy, was a repaint of Dragon Megatron.
Yeah, basically. That's it was an interesting character, but it kind of gives you the... how the nuances came later on for Megatron's character persona. And you also get to see his lackeys showing up for the first time.
Yeah, as well as a couple of newer characters also in it. A character named Dirge and... where is it?
Backslash.
Yeah, Backslash on Team Alpha.
And Buzzbomb. All of which don't last very long.
To say the least. I didn't even know it's there because he didn't even get a voice role.
But the interesting part is that this starts out with Cryotech kind of glossing over. I mean, first you get the prelude, which has basically a breakdown of how they get the Voyager space probe version of the Golden Disc, and then there's the alien Golden Disc,
which is actually separated into two separate parts, where Megatron set up a secondary team, well, three teams actually if you think about it. One team to retrieve the Nemesis, the ship. One team to take out the power, and his team, which consisted of him and Dinobot, plus one other. Couldn't really tell who the third was.
Now, what I will say about the difference between the Theft of the Golden Disc Part 1 and 2 and the preload, however, is that, which may be a little bit of the same thing, because the prelude was made prior to their using it for the convention as a kind of a way to kind of give a little bit of the story, but at the same time, it's not the prelude's not really 100% canon, even though it kind of lays the backdrop because of the fact that the Voyager probe Golden Disc is the only one that actually is on Cybertron. And the other one is actually on prehistoric Earth, because Inferno discovers it.
I thought that they had both, because remember at one point, Dinobot brought one of the discs with him?
He did that after Season 2 began. This was found in Season 1, though.
Okay.
The Vok Golden Disc was discovered in a pillar on before the storm. With Inferno.
Yeah, before he went completely batshit insane.
Pretty much.
Sorry about the cursing.
Oh no, that's fine. So yeah, the theft starts out with some pretty good voice acting. You have a variety of people that have been involved with the Transformers fan dubbing over the years. Trying to recall the names.
David Kay was one.
Well, obviously. A lot of them didn't have actual voices, in a sense, because, like, Tarantulas was just reused canned vocals. And then there were statues of previous BotCon exclusives of like, Antagony and J-Axis. And then the Cyberplanet Keys and the replica of the Matrix and the diagnostic drone. And,
as well as the Energon chips from Transformers Energon, one of them being used as a bomb.
Mm-hmm. And then they used, for a lot of the preforms of some of the figures, they used, some old, G2/Machine Wars, concepts for the flyers, and then for the other ones they used Cybertron rehashes.
Yep.
Primarily.
The Easter egg of Megatron being the G2 Megatron, I believe.
Megatron was using Scattershot's body. From Energon, I believe.
Okay, because it also looks like one of the G2 toys for Megatron.
Yeah, they didn't use that for him because the that was a totally different body. And then I remember trying to obtain it at the time when it came out. And that was when I first realized that that was not going to happen because it started off at like 130. And then it's I like to keep up and see how high it gets. But I've seen it go as high as like $1,500 for that one figure. Right. Even though it's just a repaint and a retool of the head.
It looked like they were using it for Dinobot.
They used Rid Grimlock for that.
It was also used for one of the Beast Wars second characters, the Giraffe.
Which we'll get into later on down this mission because I have no idea any of their names, so that'll be interesting to learn that.
Okay. One of the things, as a warning beforehand, is when it comes to both Beast Wars 2nd and Neo, it was Japanese exclusive, and I might end up saying by mistake Prime instead of Convoy for both Leo Convoy and Big Convoy. More often than not, I just nicknamed him Leo Prime and Mammoth Prime.
Which they technically are, and then Convoy, which or Convoy Primal, shows up.
Yeah, they call him Beast Convoy.
Yep, and he's kind of like the just regular Convoy of that generation.
Yep.
So I've seen a little bit of it because TF Cog. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yeah, I've gotten all the dubbed versions up to where they ended, and then got the rest of this Beast Wars 2nd subtitle, Beast Wars Neo. I can't even find a subtitle version.
Yeah, I'll have to dig into that and ask some of my sources there, because they those guys tend to know where to look, even though they don't do it anymore, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I would have preferred dubbed version.
But yeah, I know that they did some of the dubbed up to a certain point.
I wouldn't be surprised if Hasbro finally woke up and tried to get Beast Wars 2nd and or Neo thrown to Netflix.
I don't think they'll do that just because it would have to be subbed. Then again, I don't know. I'm surprised Shout Factory hasn't done them yet.
I've talked to the people over at Shout Factory, and so far they're getting blocked. Which is the same reason they didn't release the 2000 RID. They were actually told on that one they couldn't do it because of the name.
I think it has more to do with the fact that Hasbro doesn't actually own those. I think those are like, I think those, the fact that those are Takara, and that's primarily why nobody's able to get their hands on it. Because I know that that was part of the reason why Headmasters had a issue initially. Because it took them forever to get that, and that wasn't even dubbed. And we tried, from the TFCOG, we tried to get one of the... we dubbed one particular episode that was supposed to be, like, the most work we ever put into one. And did brand new vocals for it, brand new audio, everything, and had, like, the cleanest, most HD quality version, and tried to get it included on the DVD, and they were like, yeah, we can't do that. So... Which would have been nice.
There might be one other reason for original RID being down too. It was co-done by Funimation for the dubbing.
Which I think is going to be bought out by Sony soon, so we may see something happen from that.
Well, we'll see.
Because they've done the movie at one point, so you never know.
Yep. And the Easter egg of the original movie was Scramble City, but the only reason they even got that was by not having any voices or the original dub on it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, going back to the theft of the Golden Disc, it kind of obviously sets up the to the comic prior to the series.
Yep.
Which is the Dawn of Future Past.
Yeah, which... included with the box set of Beast Wars. Or the 10th anniversary, I believe.
Yeah, they had the Maximals in it, and then they had the few Predacons, and then they had, which those were the obscene amounts. And then the story was done by Bob Forward and Ben Yee, which is very fitting.
Hmm.
And the comic for it was great when I read it.
Yep.
Filling in a lot of the blanks between the video and the series, and so you kind of get to see what, why some people went into stasis pods, why, you know, who ended up on what ship and why they were shorthanded, and so... It was kind of interesting to see.
Well, one of the few times the Botcon exclusive versions of Cheetor, Tigatron, and I believe Air Racers designs were from the exclusive toys to be actually used as canon.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool to see them actually have their, for the ones that they showed somewhat in the very first, like 3 to 4 minutes of this series, that you get to see their pre-beast form.
Yep.
And you get to see how the ships got their names and whatnot, and, you know, where Protoform X came from, and in the comic, of course.
Yep.
So.
And all then I can think with hearing about Protoform X's experiments was an old joke about Frankenstein. It's alive! Alive!
And then in the end, they kind of allude to the revival of Razor Claw, which is supposed to be after Beast Machines.
Ah.
Which, they never really explained all that well. So it would have been kind of nice to know what What happened after that point?
It was probably because the original plans were that it was supposed to be a series after Beast Machines called Transtech.
I believe that was supposed to be actually what Beast Wars or Beast Machines was. I want to see.
You go first.
I was going to say, I want to say that it was the original concept before, but yeah, it's supposed to be picked up. Yeah, it looks like it's supposed to be picked up after the events. And it was supposed to be Mainframe Entertainment. It just looked way too weird.
Well, some of the actual designs were pretty damn good. They actually made Nightscream look halfway decent compared to his Beast Machines form.
Yeah, the Transtech one looked weird. Depth Charge didn't look too bad.
Don't you mean the Beast Machine one looked a little weird? The gothic look compared to the very dark vampiric form?
Well, I was talking about Transtech.
Yeah, the for Nightscream, he looked a little bit better as the Transtech form than the emo teenager look.
Yeah, I didn't really care for that character either way, so it wasn't that hard of a...
I think they would have been doing what they did with Cheetor for Season 3.
But I'm not surprised it didn't take off. I wasn't real fond of half the designs I saw for it anyway.
They were trying basically for a hybrid between G1 and Beast Wars from the look of things.
Which is why after that they stopped and went with bringing Red over.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think that going through the other series, I think we'll find a little bit more of other things going on during the modern day of that universe of what's going on pre-Beast Machine.
Up to a point.
I've watched
Beast Wars 2nd and Beast Wars Neo, and it seems to flesh out some of it, including showing who leads Cybertron, but most of the events take place in a kind of weird timeline. Supposedly, the events of Beast Wars 2nd take place within a year after the Season 1 Beast Wars, with the Neo taking place immediately after the end of Beast Wars 2nd.
Which is interesting. The only exposure I've had to some of these characters aside from TF Cog is the limited edition run on IDW of the comic run.
What about the other comic? Not the IDW, the one before it.
Dreamwave?
Yeah, I know they did the Beast Wars one where they were trying to cross over Beast Wars 2nd with the original Beast Wars a couple of times.
Are you talking about The Gathering?
Might have been that. It's been years.
It was an IDW production. They were supposed to do it under Dreamwave originally. But IDW picked up that after Dreamwave went belly up.
Ah.
Because that's the only comics of those they still have left. But I liked the graphics in them and the story. They were actually pretty good. And then it kind of leads right up into Beast Machines.
Well, it's kind of different, but things happen.
Yep. So...
Transformers Beast Wars.
So what are you hoping to see in as we progress through the series?
One, the character development and what Maximals as well as the newer Predacons have on thoughts of what their missing comrades, a little bit more showing of what possibly would link Rid and the Beast Wars era into the G1. A little bit of uniqueness for art styles, for comparing contrast of some of the characters that the names nowadays are being introduced in newer series, such as this will be the first appearance of Megatronus.
In is that in Neo or in 2?
Beast Wars 2 had Galvatron and Megatronus.
Interesting. Wasn't his name Megastorm? As far as the figure? I want to say it was.
Neo that had Megatronus.
That might be. Because I know 2 had Megastorm.
Who eventually became a mini Crypticon.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what kind of transpires with those and listening to the dubs as far as they go anyway. So I think that about rounds it out then. Any other thoughts before we go?
Well, I hope we do pretty well with the Beast Wars 2 and Neo, and hope eventually Hasbro brings it out, either the allows the DVDs to come out, or possibly some of the toys for the anniversary of Beast Wars.
I'll have to do some digging into that and see. I have a few contacts I might be able to fish that information from.
I know they did release some of the characters in both Beast Wars and I know several of them were released because they just renamed them. The Insecticon trio and the Mega Team with Leo Jr. were both released, I know, in Beast War.
Sounds good. So, that rounds out this clip. We hope you enjoyed this, and until next time, transform and roll out.
Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.